But they get that. That's correct. So everyone, you know, the reason why that problem really began is that many, many years ago, retirement benefits were promised without putting money aside to pay for them. And this compounded over a very long period of time. We then came to office on January 5th, January 6th, a year ago now, and looked this thing right in the eye and said, we've got to deal with this issue. And we did successfully, and I'm very thankful to everybody involved that it it came out so well. Now, what's going on now? I mentioned to you last year, sort of the big structural problem that we had in the budget was dealing with this this pension debt. How do we pay that thing off? And we're quite successful in dealing with it, at least for the time being. Right now, we have another problem. It is our Medicaid program. This is a huge program, Michelle, that over the years, the philosophy in state government had been, since the federal government is paying two-thirds of these Medicaid benefits, and of course, we call our Medicaid program here Maincare.
Right.
But since they're paying two-thirds of these benefits, why don't we enroll as many people
expand
as humanly possible?
Right.
Sure. Because I can't tell you how many times people said, well, Bruce, why would you want to leave, you know, 67 cents on every dollar on the table? Why wouldn't you want to take that money from the federal government? Well, the answer to the question is quite simple, is that we can't afford our one-third. So what we have now, Michelle, is a program that, like the pension fund before, is simply unaffordable. We have now 361,000 of our fellow citizens in this one program.
361,000?
Out of a population of 1.3 million. That is 27% of our entire population. It is the third highest enrollment rate in the country based on population. So we are clearly an outlier when we look at any other state. We have a lot of people in the program, more than we can afford, and the benefits that are provided in this program are more generous for the most part than in other states.
Right.
So now we have a problem, and is what do we do about it? Well, it's such a problem that, remember, we have a two-year budget cycle here. And the budget, this two-year cycle that we're in now, started July 1 of 2011. So we're 6 months into it.
Okay,
so we have another 18 months. During that 18-month period of time, we have a $221 million budget hole because of this one program.
But this program pays for ed techs in the local schools. It pays for drug addicts who are on methadone. It pays for all sorts of things that aren't necessarily paid for in, say, California or Wisconsin.
That's one of our problems, Michelle, is that it also pays for housing and food and some transportation for some folks. It also enrolls 19 and 20-year-old, healthy 19 and 20-year-old. It also enrolls healthy, capable, not disabled adults with no kids.
So that's legally and according to our state guidelines. Is that correct?
That's
correct. It's not like they're going behind anyone's back. That's what the guidelines here allow.
That's right. And the federal government does not require this. Is that over the years, Maine, and sort of, you know, one step at a time, has become more and more generous in this program, and now it's really not, it's no longer just a safety net for those that are the most vulnerable among us, which is the goal, of course, of the program, Michelle.
Right.
It is now really a middle-class entitlement program. So we just don't have the money to pay for it. And as these numbers, by the way, have been sanctioned by the folks in the state Senate who work on these numbers in a nonpartisan way, so they are accurate. And the problem that we have is, remember I mentioned that budget that goes from June 30 to July 1,
yep.
It's mid-year. Okay, well, right now we are in the, of course, the January through March quarter, but we are spending money from the April, May, and June quarter.
Next quarter.
That's correct. So we are now spending next quarter's money. And what happens is,
that doesn't work well in a household.
Well, it doesn't work well in a business either. And the problem we have is that unless we fix this problem, the numbers indicate that on April 1, the Department of Health and Human Services will run out of money. So we have to reform this. Now, the good news is that, just like the pension issue, is that instead of kicking this can down the street, instead of covering it up with not paying hospitals, instead of covering it up by reducing what we're supposed to pay doctors when they provide these services.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of borrowing from the future, we're not doing any of that. We're telling the voters of Maine the truth. And hopefully they will weigh in with their state representatives and state senators, asking them to make the tough decisions to reform this program so we can now afford it. Or hopefully we'll be able to afford it. And what's happening now is that this debate is now working its way through the legislature. They are working on it right now. They're debating it every day. And by the end of this month, over the next 3.5 weeks, they will have to decide this in time such that we don't run out of money on April 1, because we need time to implement the changes. So this is a really big stuff, Michelle.
Does that look positive, Bruce? Does it look like they're actually saying, oh, God, we do have to do something?
I know the oh, God is there now.
Okay.
In other words, we have, with the governor's leadership, mm-hmm. we have raised this issue to the level that now it is being addressed. We need to address it. And I'm a very positive person, a very optimistic person.
Yeah.
And I believe that when push comes to shove, the legislators will do what is right to keep this state solvent. Now, the way I'm weighing in on this issue, in part, Michelle, is I'm starting to communicate this to the legislators, and we'll start doing this to the voters around the state.
Good.
Is that our state's credit rating is dependent on our ability to pay our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Our state's credit rating is dependent on our ability to rebuild our piggy bank, our financial reserves, because we've drained it down to almost nothing.
And a bake sale is not going to work, is it, Bruce?
A bake sale is not going to work in the state of Maine. It might in Georgetown, where I live, but it won't work all throughout the 16 counties of the state. So where I'm going with this is it is very important for all of us in state government and all of the folks around the state to understand that the state has a credit rating. Just like when you go and buy a car, mm-hmm. or you go and you buy your first home, the banks want to take a look and see, Michelle, okay, what's your credit rating like?
And what interest are we going to charge you?
Exactly. Remember, the better, the higher our credit rating, the less interest we pay when we borrow money. It's also, when it comes to the state government, it's a very visible sign to business leaders around the country. Because when they look at investing in Maine or any other state, they say, okay, this state has a very high credit rating. What that means is they have a low amount of debt, they can pay off their debt, they can pay their bills. Hey, this is a great place for me to invest without having to worry about taxes going up to pay for out-of-control spending or out-of-control debt.
Right.
So our state's credit rating is so important. And why the pension fund was so important to fix, not only to help the budget so we can afford it, but also
the
credit rating agencies gave us very high marks, Michelle, for dealing with that. They are now looking at us again very closely to see how we deal, or if we deal, with this second long-term structural problem, which is our Medicaid program. And I am greatly positive in my belief that in the new year we're all going to join hands together and know that this Maine is a tremendous community. We're all related. Somehow we're all connected,
mm-hmm.
whether you live in Frenchville or you live in Kittery. And we will do the right thing for the taxpayers of Maine, for those that are most vulnerable in this state. We must re-engineer the state government such that we can pay for what we can afford. And we're getting there, but this Medicaid problem is huge, and that's top of our agenda right now.
Bruce, thank you so much for meeting with me, and I hope to meet with you again in the next 6-7 months to see what's behind us and what's the next thing ahead of us.
I always look forward to seeing you, Michelle. You have such a great smile on your face. And I met your husband this morning.
You did.
Or was it yesterday in the cafeteria?
That was this morning.
It was this morning in the cafeteria, right.
Yep.
And he looked terrific, too.
At the Senator Hotel.
You know, mm-hmm. one thing I haven't maybe told your listeners before, but it's kind of fun. I live about an hour and 15 minutes away in Georgetown, and the roads are narrow and slick and hilly. And I leave in the morning early when it's dark out, and I go back at home later. So what I have done, they call me the bandit. I shouldn't say this. But at the Senator Hotel, I've negotiated a very low rate.
I'm sure you have.
And by the way, it's on my own nickel.
Uh-huh.
It's on my own nickel. But I'm able to stay there and get a lot of work done and not worry about traveling when the roads are icy and dark at night.
Wonderful.
So it's all good
stuff. Can you get me one of those?
Well, I negotiate on behalf of the taxpayers of Maine. So I do that indirectly for you, but you're probably going to have to do your own negotiating at the Senator.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Michelle.
So I hope you enjoyed this interview with Bruce Poliquin, and I hope you'll stick around so that you can hear the next issue we bring up that matters to those of us north of Bangor.